So we are going to start a new sutta since we spent some time in discussing previously on the Uraga Sutta, which discussed on the different aspects of letting go process. And I selected another sutta available in the Sutta Nipata that is called Kasi Bharadwaja Sutta. Now, Kasi Bharadwaja Sutta is actually a very interesting one again, because where Buddha recognized one farmer, actually he's a Brahmin, and he engaged with farming, and he's actually a wealthy person, by the way. I mean, he has a lot of cows, a lot of other workers working under him. So, and one day Buddha understood this person has fairly matured faculties now, and I better go and meet him. I better preach him Dhamma, and if after hearing Dhamma, he may become a monk, and ultimately he become an Arahant. So having understood that, now Buddha approached the paddy field. At that time, before the beginning of the plowing, actually he is conducting kind of a distribution of food. So now Buddha also approached there, where the Kasi Bharadwaja is distributing food, maybe to his workers and supporters, because fair amount of people are engaged with this activity. It's not just a single field, but many fields where he is a rich person. And now Buddha approached that particular occasion. And after seeing Buddha, now this Brahmin, he is making a very interesting statement. So he is mentioning, I plow and I sow, ascetic, and having plowed and sown, I eat. Now basically this is someone who is working hard. So he is not ready to give away what he is earning, because what he earns is through his lot of effort. He is working hard. And this is very similar to today. Suppose that you or someone else is a hard worker. You have to spend fair amount of time at your office, or maybe you are working hard at any other business or any other activity. And by working hard, you are earning some righteous kind of a salary, remuneration. And with that, you are protecting your children, your husband, wife, your relations, and that is how you are in a way maintaining your life. And when someone is simply coming and asking for just giving away, simply asking some money, simply asking some food, simply asking something, so then you might not feel giving it, because you know how difficult it is to earn. So you are spending a lot of time, you are maybe conducting overtime, and sometimes working hard even at your home. So it is quite difficult, and a lot of hardships are there. And while at office, you may have to go through a lot of stressful situations. Ultimately, that is how you are paid kind of a remuneration. So simply giving it away, or simply sharing that with another person, may be a little difficult. So the same thing is here. So now Buddha approach as an ascetic, expecting some food from this Kasi Bharadwaja. So it seems like Kasi Bharadwaja is not that used to donate. And so he little resist. He simply said to the Buddha, now I am eating after plowing. I am eating sowing and then plowing. I am eating. Now you also better do the same thing. I am not ready to share things with you, because you too, ascetic, must plow and sow, and having plowed and sown, you can eat. So interesting answer. Now Buddha ironically mentioned the same thing. I am also plowing, I am also sowing, and having plowed and sown, I am eating. Now interesting, because this particular Brahmin, he know very well that Buddha is not a farmer. But he know that Buddha is a, maybe we can call him as a teacher, well-known teacher, and he is not using flowers, I mean the plow. He doesn't own any fields. He's not a farmer. So he very well know about it. So he therefore next, he's little puzzled. He's little surprised by hearing the Buddha's words. Because now Buddha is very much like lying. Now he is telling, again asking, but we do not see Master Gotama's yoke or plow or plowshare or god or oxen. Yet Master Gotama says this, I too Brahmin plow and sow, and having plowed and sown I eat. Now he is a farmer, so he know what are the instruments being used in farming. So Buddha, even though he say that I am also plowing, sowing, and after plowing and sowing, I am eating. So there is no any farming equipment available with Buddha. So now he is questioning. I can't see your yoke. I can't see your plow. You can't see your plowshare. And even the oxen. So then how are you telling like that? Now interestingly, Buddha give a kind of a simile and again kind of a analysis why he is mentioning like this. So metaphorically, why Buddha is mentioning that he is also plowing, he is also sowing, he is also farming, and as a result of that he is also eating. Now he is talking in the spiritual terms, what is his kind of farming? Kassako patijanasi nacha passama te kasin. Kasin no puchito bruhi yatha jane mutte kasin. Now this is the question asked by Kasi Bharadwaja. So you are telling that, he's addressing to the Buddha, you are telling that you are a plowman, you are a farmer, but we can't see your plowing, and tell us about your plowing so that we can understand your plowing. Now through a verse he is asking the question. Now Buddha giving a very interesting answer. So this is something that we can understand. We can pay some attention. Saddha bijang tapo vutti panya me yuga nangala hiri isa mano yottam sati me phala pachana. Now saddha is the bija. Saddha is, or the faith is the seed. Tapo vutti, austerity the rain. Panya me yuga nangalam, wisdom is my yoke and plow. Now the wisdom. Now here actually we can say seed of faith. Now we have some faith on Dhamma, we have some faith on Buddha, the Sangha. So we have to plant that. Then only it will produce some result. As a plant, as a tree, as a harvest. So just having faith may not be enough. So faith has to be developed. Faith has to be cultivated. So faith is the seed. Tapo vutti. Now faith alone is not enough. You can't have simply seeds. You need rain at proper time. So that means when you are plowing, you have to have proper time, the rain, water, so that indicates you need to have sila, tapo, austerity. Basically we can consider as the sila, where you are maintaining kind of a wholesome, virtuous morality within yourself. Now we have faith, and now we are trying to cultivate that. And in the surrounding we have the austerity, or what we can say as the adherence to sila, precepts. And now time to time we are taking care of that. So we are maintaining sila, and time to time we may reflect back whether we are maintaining it properly. Are there any sort of lapses in protecting sila? And panya me yuga nangala. Wisdom is my yoke and plow. Now, panya, wisdom, is in a way time to time we can get through different means. One way is to listen to Buddha's teaching. Another is our own reflection. Third one is our own investigation. Now, the last one is actually the meditative type of wisdom. That is what we are primarily concerned. So, how one may develop such paññā? How one may develop such wisdom? Hiri isa mano yottam. Now, moral shame is the pole. Mind the yoke strap. Moral shame. Now again it is closer to the morality, because moral shame and moral dread is something that one may develop as a result of developing mindfulness, clear comprehension. That is also something we discuss in the Sati Sampajanya Sutta. And Sati me pala pachana. Mindfulness, my plowshare and gourd. This is also very interesting. So Buddha keep mindfulness as the plowshare. So plowshare is a part which is doing that running in the front, moving in the front. So that is what the preparing the, you can say, the soil for plantation. And actually that part is Buddha make it as a sati, as a mindfulness. So it is in the front. So you are using maybe ox and all the different instruments, but in front is the plowshare. Plowshare is nothing but mindfulness. So this is very interesting, because sometimes we keep different things in the front. Sometimes we keep concentration in the front. Sometimes we keep wisdom in the front, maybe saddha in the front. Now these are different ways that we may enter to the practice. But here, interestingly, Buddha keep mindfulness in the front. Mindfulness prepares the soil as a plowshare. And kaya gutto, vachi gutto, ahare uddare yato. Satchang karomi niddanam, sorachang me pamochanam. Now Buddha further mentioned kaya gutto. That means he is further mentioning about this virtuous behavior. Through the body, he is not doing anything wrong. So guarded the body. And similarly, he is guarding the speech. Still comes under the morality. Ahare udareya, so only maintaining or only having moderate food. So not overeating, but controlled in food and belly. So basically he know the amount. Moderation in the eating. Satchang karomi niddana. And truth is using like the weeding. So sometimes we have to look at ourselves whether we are talking the truth. And he is here mentioning truth is like time to time he is weeding, because when the paddy field is maintained, so the farmer has to come and see whether weeds are there. So he is maintaining, he is weeding the paddy field. So Buddha mentions, so I use truth for weeding. So in a way we can recognize if there is any kind of flaws in our practice, so that has to be addressed, that has to be removed, so that we become more properly aimed in our practice. And sorachang me pamochanam. Now soracha means that we are ready to listen, and we are easily tameable. Now sometimes as we are growing up, the opposite happens. We don't want to listen to anyone. So we also become an adult. We also become a teacher. And then we don't like another person come and telling something to us, instructing us. Because we too have become instructors. We too have become elders. We too have become teachers. But here Buddha emphasized, sorachcham me pamochana. So By having an attitude of listening, easy to listen, easy to advise, so that you are ready to change yourself. Rather than sort of having fixations. So if someone is pointing out our own fault, our own misdeed, our own mistake, then are we ready to accept it rather than defending it? Soraccha. So soraccha is therefore a very interesting quality Buddha highlights here. So as a spiritual practitioner, sometimes we don't care about much things. Say someone else is telling something, we don't care. Because we feel that I am more spiritual. I am more, say, virtuous. I am more wise. So likewise, we may even neglect someone else's words. But if we are ready to listen to anyone and simply to consider, I mean, is it something worthy that he or she is mentioning? Is it really applicable? Is it really practical? Is it really available in me? If it is a fault, is it really available in me? So likewise, if we have an attitude of listening, and that is even cultivated as mindful listening, so we are not immediately rejecting when someone is telling something. And also we are not immediately accepting and sort of being kind of timid. Rather, we are doing kind of an introspection after listening someone else's say complaint. So we are ready to consider it. Viryam me dhura dhoraiham yoga kema di vahana. Now further information is coming. And gacchanti anivattantam yatha gantva na sochati. Viryam me dhura dhoraiham. Energy is my beast of burden, carrying one towards security from bondage. Yoga kema divahana. Now, in order to, now Buddha actually here giving in a more kind of aesthetic manner. So he is having a kind of a vehicle through which you are going towards a nibbana, traveling towards nibbana. So the vehicle is actually the virya, effort. So effort is the vehicle using which one is now traveling towards Nibbana. Yoga Kema Divahanam. So that Yoga Kema, the Nibbana, is achieved, reached through the Virya as a vehicle. Gacchanti Anivattanta Yatha Gantana Sochati. So once you reach there is no sorrowing, there is no worrying. So, and there is no turning back. And once you reach there, yatta gantvana sochati. So once you are there, so kind of a fading away of worrying, fading away of sorrows has to happen. So this is something actually Buddha highlights even when he is preaching Satipatthana Sutta, where Buddha mentioned ekāyano ayam bhikkhave maggo sattānaṁ śuddhiyā soka pariddhavānaṁ samatittamāya dukkha domanassānaṁ arthangamāya. Now that means even before one achieve the full nibbāna, we can say full-fledged nibbāna, say rāgakkhaya, dosakkhaya, mohakkhaya, if we consider that as the completion of the practice, actually Buddha in a way promised, when you start developing mindfulness, Satipatthana practice, it slowly fades away sorrow, lamentation, worrying, despair, and all sorts of such dukkha has to fade away. So that is something that we can verify. Actually, we don't need to wait till we attain Nibbana. So removing or eliminating one's sorrows, lamentations, despair, unsatisfaction, so all these are part of the practice. So therefore, when one starts mindfulness development, so maybe at that time he is more sensitive, or on the other hand, maybe having a lot of troubles, worrying, and some kind of stress All sorts of difficulties may be there. But later, with time, with practice, so we may have to notice, if we do it properly, we may have to notice a fading away of this despair, fading away of sorrow, fading away of lamentation. Eva mesa kasi katha sahoti amatak phala etam kasin kasitvana sabba dukkha pamuchyati. Now Buddha mentioned, in such a way this plowing is done, which bears the deathless as its fruit. Having plowed with this kind of plowing, one is released from all suffering. Now actually, Buddha here metaphorically mentioned how his whole practice is somewhat equal to plowing, equal to farming. Because farming is quite simple. I mean, familiar to this particular person, Kasi Bharadwaja, because he is a well-known farmer, he's a practical farmer, and under him there are many farmers are also working. He's a head farmer, we can say. So his terms are, he is quite aware of the whole thing. So Buddha also talks in the same line. So rather than immediately telling about Four Noble Truths or Noble Eightfold Path in a more, say, technical manner, so here Buddha aesthetically and with terms which Asi Bharadwaja could easily understand through a simile, so he is addressing Kasi Bharadwaja. Now this is something that Buddha sometimes use so that the listener is capable of easily understand his Dhamma. So that is why Buddha's teaching is quite applicable to the many people, because he talks using the mundane terms. He talks using the day-to-day terms. He uses the normal language where people can understand. And he comes to that level. He become a kind of a farmer, and now he is explaining how he is farming. And each and every term that he has used, so then this Kasi Bharadwaja can reflect, as I mentioned as an example, why mindfulness is considered as a plowshare. And when plowshare is mentioned, so Kasi Bharadwaja know what is the purpose of that, what are the kind of significance of that. And accordingly, he may understand, okay, these are the qualities I need to balance, these are the qualities I need to develop. And they have some similarity with respect to farming. And we also can recognize and why these different terms are used. So why Buddha tell faith as a seed, and similarly why Buddha mention the morality or various austerities as rain? Because sometimes we probably hear, okay, we may need to strengthen our morality. So that is somewhere like we are getting some rain. Okay, the crops are drying or we are not getting enough rain. So at that time, suppose that we are watering or we are getting some rain. So again, the crops start properly growing because the necessary water, necessary moisture is available. So that's likewise, in our practice also, time to time such rain is necessary, because we may continuing our practice, we may be developing mindfulness, but probably might forget to take care of the morality. So morality is like rain, that time to time give us that necessary moisture, that necessary water, so that we can absorb that. Again, we are becoming more vital, we are becoming more fresh. And panyame yuganangala, now wisdom, again Buddha explained, and hiri, that is the moral shame. So maintaining that sort of, actually moral shame is the pole, now is giving very much like a kind of a direction, maintaining that. Satime pala pachanam, as we already discussed, so it is the plowshare, so that is the one leading, so it is very much like the leader. So it is keeping in the front. As we maybe discussed in the previous time, so if we consider the faculties, Saddha, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, Panya, so Sati is very much like in the middle, and he is the one monitoring all others and telling us, okay, now you need to improve Saddha, now you need to improve wisdom, now you better improve, say, effort, now you better improve, concentration, now you better reduce wisdom, now you better reduce concentration, now you better reduce effort, now you better balance this. So likewise, this whole monitoring task is done by mindfulness. So that is why this mindfulness in that sense playing that monitoring role. So the whole practice is very much like we are developing kind of a partner within ourselves. So we ourselves become our own teacher in that sense. At the beginning, personally, we may get some instruction from another teacher. We are starting our development practice. But later, so that practice itself become our teacher. So all those different faculties, particularly the mindfulness, will become our teacher. It is the one guarding us. It is the one leading us. It is the one monitoring us and informing us, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that, you have this, you are doing this mistake, you are doing that mistake, now you are good, now you have corrected that. So likewise, this whole monitoring process is achieved by mindfulness. And ultimately Buddha mentioned, so like this, when I am doing this plowing and sowing, ultimately, I am having the amata phala as the nibbana, as the fruit. Deathless as the fruit. So all these things are properly managed. So he is going through the plowing process. And ultimately, he is getting the fruit, harvest. That is the deathless state of the mind. So he is explaining or he is experiencing that deathless state. Etam kasin kasitvana sabba dukkha pamunchati. Now, with this, I am continuing this plowing process. Ultimately, I am completely rid of all the different kinds of suffering. Now, so in a way, we can consider this as a kind of a dialogue between a typical worldly aspects. And using that same terminology, Buddha explaining the spiritual aspects. Kind of a combination of both sides. So he is using the same terminology used in plowing, used in, in today's terms, say, kind of business. And Buddha is explaining his Dhamma using the same terminology. So that is something interesting that Buddha highlighted. And certain monks actually tried to preach Dhamma only using, Sanskrit, even during Buddha's time. So they want to somewhat make it more academic. But Buddha refused it. Buddha mentioned, no, you can explain Dhamma using any language. Language is not the problem. You don't need to be, it need not to be extremely academic. You can use whatever the language that people are using which you need to pass the message, using which you are convincing what needs to be done. You are explaining the Dhamma using whatever the techniques. So therefore Buddha used similes, metaphors, and common language which people may understand, and through that Buddha is able to pass the message. Buddha was able to explain Dhamma so that another person would understand. And we have some more things to discuss in this Kasibaradvaja Sutta, the second part, and we may discuss that in the next time. And with that, I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Avasarai Bante.
Yeah.
Today we have only one question so far.
Okay.
Dear Bante, I practice meditation for about 2 years, and from recent months, I practice daily in the morning or evening. I can feel improvement of my life when compared with my previous behavior. Last few days, I was at home by myself and very happily started a day. But when it comes to afternoon, I felt really upset without having any issues. I was thinking about my happy past of childhood memories with my parents and siblings. I could be able to manage my sad mood after applying theories I learned from Dhamma sermons. What I realized was, even though I thought I have improved, seems to be not much.
Sorry, can you repeat the last statement?
What I realized was, even though I thought I have improved, seems to be not much.
Okay.
Could you please kindly advise me how to improve my situation? Thanks for your guidance, Theruvan Saranai.
Yeah, actually, time to time, this kind of ups and downs may happen. So, but you have properly overcome that. So, you are able to use Dhamma, what you have learned, so that you are able to overcome this situation. So, these things are possible. These things are available. So, it is not that we are going to straight line or in a 45 degree angle. So, every time, so these ups and downs are available. And again, in the life itself, Buddha mentioned is kind of going through all these vicissitudes, either with the happiness or the kind of unhappiness, or the gain or the fame, or sorry, the gain or the loss, or sometimes the fame or the ill fame. So these kinds of 8 type of vicissitudes that Buddha mentioned, so these are quite common to everyone. And in your situation, actually, maybe kind of an inner way of thinking. Sometimes we think differently or in wrong terms, so that itself can take us to kind of worrying or regrets or even some depressive thoughts. But if we are recognizing that without going to the obsessive level, before that, if you are able to understand that, so then we can apply breaks. So the development of mindfulness is actually necessary for this reason, because so it helps us to have this monitoring process. So we know what is thinking this fellow. Assume that mind is somewhat kind of an instrument. So it is sometimes associating all these unnecessary things, various kind of thoughts. So if we are aware what kind of thoughts going on, and we can be kind of cautious about it, because usually mind like to think about like that, because mind like to worry, mind like to have kind of say thinking about the future and little worried, anxious, maybe thinking about the past and regretting about what has happened. So even though we know these are useless and even harmful, still mind is engaged with this kind of thinking. So mindfulness helps us in this sense, because then through mindfulness we understand, okay, these are not really necessary, and we have kind of a protection because we can stop that. And here you are using kind of a counteracting thoughts, maybe using the Dhamma. So you are using different ways and mechanisms to overcome that. And so likewise, we need to little safeguard ourselves. Sometimes even in certain verses, certain Dhamma stories, and certain monks also mentioned, it is like very much like a particular elephant has drowned in a pit. Sometimes it is difficult because it's an elephant. It's not a, say, normal cat or maybe monkey or someone. So the elephant itself has to come out of the wherever it has fallen, maybe a pit, maybe a whatever it is. Now it's with lot of effort that he is coming out. So one day a monk has seen that how an elephant is coming out from a fallen pit, so with lot of effort. Now he take it as an example for his own kind of effort, kind of a practice. Now he also himself applying a lot of effort, because it is not easy. because various other reasons are there. Time to time things are happening, and maybe we go through various physical difficulties, maybe illnesses, and things are not favorable sometimes. And when these things are happen, I mean, if we are able to maintain kind of a balanced mind, or at least we are able to quickly recover, so that is very important. So that is what sometimes in the mindfulness terminology one is mentioning as resilience. Say you are sometimes due to various reasons you collapse, you feel defeated, or you start worrying, but you can quickly recover. So that recovery is quite speedy when one is developing mindfulness. Yeah, so we have received, I don't know, any other questions are there?
Yes, we have another 6 questions.
Yeah.
So this one. Yeah. Dear Venerable Bhante, when we see things and hear, then things ultimately become a thing in the mind, like an object in the mind. I was listening to the most venerable Katukurunde Swami in Vahansa Deshana, and he explained the reason for it using King Moolaka Sutta. In that he said, Chanda Moolaka Sabbe Dhamma Manasikara Sambhavo Sabbe Dhamma, meaning that because of the choice, all dharmata occurs, and because of rethinking on and on, it gets established. After I heard this, it was a huge eye-opener when I wanted to share with others. Perhaps, Bhante, you can do a session on King Moolaka Sutta in Katukurunde Swami Vahanse explanations in one of our next MYA full day retreat. I feel it would be an eye-opener for others as well. Much merits and with metta.
Yeah, very good suggestion. Actually, I conducted a retreat using Kim Moolaka Sutta at Nisarnavane. As you said, it's a very interesting sutta. And same thing was published in the book also. And Katukurunde Bhante actually explained that very beautifully, and how different these factors are very much like governing the whole process. And Buddha gave that as an explanation whenever someone is asking these questions, particularly say various other ascetics are there, so they get on to various arguments. So Buddha is very much like teaching the other monks, okay, monks, if they ask like this, you better answer like this. So when they are asking what is the root cause for everything, then you better answer that Chanda Moolaka Sabbe Dhamma. For Chanda, the desire, is the root cause of everything. So likewise, Buddha talks about, I think, 8 questions and answers, and maybe we'll take that in the future as the theme of the MYA session, then we also can discuss that. Yes. Thank you for the suggestion.
3 questions out of 6. Dear Bhante, I heard the word Abhinya Jnanaya. What does it mean by that? Thank you and with metta.
Now, Abhinya typically, Abhinyayang typically means direct knowledge. So it is not some inferential knowledge, it is not something that you gain through the book, but through your direct knowledge, experiential knowledge, we can say. So, on the other hand, abhinya is another terminology where one may acquire the various other, psychological type of skills, reading someone else's mind, maybe seeing something far away which others can't see, hearing something very far away which others can't hear. So these are, and again, reflecting past lives. So these are sometimes called as abhinya. So that is a different subject. But typically abhinya, abhinyayang means that you are through your direct knowledge that you are experiencing, through your direct knowledge that you have understood. So that is the terminology.
Fourth question out of 7. Dear Bhante, this is a reflection of my mindful walking practice last week. I started focus on the lower body, keeping the hands and upper body still in a relaxed position while walking. I tried to pay attention to the sole of the foot and most of the time can observe the pressure on the sole and how it gets disturbed across the sole and to the toes. I can differentiate the above walking process as left and right foot sensations continuously for 2 to 3 rounds. My walking path is about 25 steps tile floor, a corridor inside a house. Sometimes the mind drifts away and many thoughts appear. I can come back to the walking process with some effort. While the thoughts are crowded, I can observe lifting of one leg at a time, and when it comes down and hits the floor, I do it by extra forces so the mind gets shifted to the walking rather than staying with the thoughts. By artificially generating these gross level sensations, I can come back to the walking process. However, I am mindful throughout that deliberate act as well. Once settled, I can observe the subtle details on the sole. Don't know if this is the right technique, but works for me at the moment and throughout of checking with Bhante. Thank you for your venerable service with Metta.
Yeah, actually, different techniques you can use as tools, but later, seasoning yourself more into the natural way is much better. Now, at the beginning, we may tell left, right, say lifting, moving, placing, and as you are doing kind of purposely, deliberately doing some hitting the floor, whatever it is, you can use. But later, when mindfulness develops, when fair amount of concentration develops, and when mind become with less distractions, then actually you don't need to apply unnecessary effort, and you may feel it as a burden. So that information has to come from you. So your practice will tell you, okay, at a given moment, okay, now it is not necessary to do this artificially, do this deliberately. Rather, I better adjust to the normal pace, adjust to the normal way of walking. Let things happen, more naturally, without any kind of disturbance. So then only actually we can say the proper balance has happened. So far, right now, effort is leading. Doesn't matter, because you want to reduce distractions, you want to pay close attention, you are using more effort. But later, definitely you have to reduce effort. That means you have to stop all these other deliberate activities, simply allow the process to happen more and more natural. And then the smooth kind of faculties would be available. Effort is available, but only to the optimum level. Then you are able to focus your attention carefully, and there are no disturbance to the mind. And again, you are able to observe what is really going on with the distant. So likewise, as your practice growing, you may recognize, okay, these techniques have to be adjusted. Otherwise, if you are keeping them forever, then you can't even succeed. That excess effort itself will agitate the mind. Yeah.
Fifth question out of 7. Dear Bhante, much merits for the Dhamma talks and explanations from Uraga Sutta, which gave us a lot of details and insights about the fetters, latent tendencies and defilements in the mind. With your guidance, now we have a chance to identify some of these states in the mind. Is it possible to establish mindfulness while we are overwhelmed by these unwholesome states? Or should we wait till they subside and the mind is clear to establish mindfulness with metta.
Is it, what's the question asking? I didn't get it properly.
Yeah, is it possible to, shall I send from the beginning?
No. That's the last question, part.
Is it possible to establish mindfulness while we can overwhelm by these unwholesome status? Or should we wait till they subside and the mind is clear to establish mindfulness?
No. Actually, establishing mindfulness is possible even when the mind has overwhelmed by going through some defilement. It is very much like you are now applying brakes. Now, that is why mindfulness is considered as a kind of a dam. Yeah, the flowing is there. Kind of the flowing of various defilements are there, but the very moment you become mindful, so you apply brakes. Now it's no more flowing there, but still you are aware now, still burning is there, now still the defilements are there, but you are not driven by them. You are not getting to the kind of the transgression level, but you know very well now mind is defiled, but aware of that. But that process itself will slowly help you to disengage from the defilements. Now, typically what happens is, suppose that you get angry. So you don't know that anger is growing. Now you get angry and you are now supporting and you think that you are correct. The other person is wrong and you remember what he or she has done. Now you become more and more angry. Now you want to even blame or hit or whatever it is. Now that is where we are kind of unmindful of what is going on. Now suppose when anger has grown to some extent, at that very moment you sort of establish mindfulness. So at that moment, so you start seeing anger as anger. It is not that you are angry with a particular person and he is wrong, you are correct and he did this, he did that. You are not in that story part. Rather you establish mindfulness, you introspect and you see, okay, anger is available. You are able to recognize anger objectively. And that is the moment that you establish mindfulness. And later, as a result of that, now you disengage. Rather than being driven by that or being a slave to that, now you are disengaged from anger. As a result of that, you are not feeding it. You are not strengthening it. Now it starts to fade away. Therefore, establishing mindfulness is extremely necessary when the defilements have come to some level, and at that moment, from that point onward, they may start to fade away. But later, as your mind become more and more mindful, then you don't need to wait. I mean, your mindfulness will tell you, indicate you even when the slightest defilement is arising in the mind. Yeah.
Sixth question out of seven. Dear Venerable Sir, when I am on walking practice most of the days, I get good ideas about my office work or how to sort things which are pending. Since they are good ideas, it is very hard to stop and concentrate on practice. You gave an advice last time to write down these thoughts, which I have started doing. I kept a small notebook at the side of my walking path to write them down if some good ideas creeps into my mind. This way, I can now forget about these thoughts and focus on walk afterwards, since I know they will not be lost. Much merits for your practical advice.
Yeah, good. So I also sometimes keep a little piece of paper in close to my table, because while walking, these ideas are coming, actually very good ideas. I mean, as you said, because actually for our own problems, sometimes whenever we are thinking too much, those ideas are not coming. Proper solutions are not coming because mind is crowded. But with practice, especially while walking, so mind become more and more cleansed, more clarity is available in the mind. So all of a sudden, immediately that whatever the solution is immediately popping up. So simply we can write it down and then forget it. Actually, the practice is more important as a as a side effect, side result, so this has happened. But we need to continue the practice, giving more emphasis to that. Rather than involved with this result and continuing with the solution, we better leave it aside. And now we need to continue our practice, giving more value to that. And for that, mind has to be more sort of independent, not thinking anything else, rather more focused, simplified, lighter with the practice. So sometimes we have the wrong kind of attitude, thinking that through thinking we can get result. But you may probably understand, so while you're walking, your thinking process fairly stopped. Even though the thinking process stopped, so immediately you get a solution. So that means we have a different dimension in our mind, not only through thinking that you can produce proper results, but this very silent, deep listening or very silent awareness is a deep resource of wisdom. So through that actually we may get proper results. Yeah. Interesting for sharing.
This is the last question. This is a general question. Dhamma question equals dear venerable Bhante. This question is regarding sanya. In the lines of Dhamma, sanya, loke, piyarupan, satarupan.
Satarupan, yeah.
Satarupan, ettesa, tamha, tanha, pahiya, mana, pahiyati, etta, nirujja, mana, nirujjati. In this line, does it refer to the old sanya that was perceived before or brand new sanya?
So actually I need to refer that verse. So I can't remember. I think in the Sutta Nipata, this verse is coming. If you have the verse written, can you put it to the chat box so that I can actually look at that? Or if you can, whoever asking the question, if you can point out the sutta name, then it's easy to understand, easy to refer it a little bit, because I can't exactly, I didn't properly get the terms. Can you copy it to the chat box?
Yes, Swami, no, so I will do that.
Piyarupang, Satarupang, I can't remember. I have this dumb question, dear Vante. Sanya, Pahiyati, Etta Nirujjamana, Nirujjati. Actually, here I think this is referring to the Satipatthana. Here, there also I think it is mentioned. Piyarupang Satarupang, that means certain rupa, different kinds of forms that we like, and which produce happy, pleasurable feelings, and they are actually the various sanya is happening, and that they are itself we better remove it. So then and there, I mean, it is not that something happened in the past, and we are going there and removing it, or which is not happened yet, we can remove it. But at this very moment, in the present moment, we are doing the practice. So then and there, when that is available, so we have to be aware and then remove it. That is what I feel I'm getting through this statement. But I will check that because if I can really find out the place, then it is easy for me to recognize the meaning with respect to the context. But this alone, I can't give a firm answer. But maybe I'll try. I mean, if you can remember where you have extracted this verse, that would be easy. Then I can find it out. Then maybe later, next time, we'll find a proper answer.
That is the last question, Vante.
Okay.
Yes. And we come to the end of the program. And I would first like to thank Bhante for his venerable time. Also, we would like to pass our merits to everyone, both seen and unseen, who are enabling this program. And we pass our merits to all participants for joining the program. With that, I would like to conclude the program today. Teruvan Saranai. Sadhu,
Sadhu. Yeah, Teruvan Saranai.